Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Our dream is that we fundamentally change the way we do church. That we take out a clean sheet of paper and we rethink all of our old assumptions, replace it with new insights. Insights that are informed by research and rooted in Scripture.
Well, some people say that there's a real sea change taking place in American Christianity today and tomorrow. That was the voice of Greg Hawkins. He's one of the pastors at Willow Creek Community Church, one of the most influential, or at least up until this time, one of the most influential megachurches in the United States with their Willow Creek Association. They include not just the congregation and satellites of Willow Creek, but congregations all across denominational lines. Well, they're holding their Reveal Conference today and tomorrow. And it really, for some people who've been watching this for the last 6 months or so, really might be a big change for Willow Creek. They've run into some problems. They think that a major sector of the Christians they want to serve are not being served, and they're trying to do something about it and help other congregations do something about it. But what is their solution? Is it really scriptural? We'll answer that question with Chris Roseborough. He joins us live from Chicago, or from South Barrington, Illinois, near Chicago. Chris received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University in Irvine, California. He's host of the radio program Fighting for the Faith and author of the blog Extreme Theology. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
What have you seen so far and heard so far at the Reveal Conference?
You know, it's a little frustrating, and my head is actually kind of hurting right now, because some of what I'm hearing is good news, and I think that represents some positive changes in a different direction for where the Willow Creek Association wants to take churches. And some of it's very frustrating because I don't think they're fundamentally looking at their doctrine of sanctification and seeing if they're not on the wrong page there as well. What I hear are some good ideas. They want to get back to engaging people in the Bible, because they found their study and their surveys have discovered that the number one thing that impacts Christian growth in people is deep and maximum exposure and engagement with the Bible and with the Scriptures, which is something that hasn't been a hallmark of the seeker-sensitive movement. Yet at the same time, in listening to how they're defining a disciple and where they want to go with this, I'm concerned that they might have law and gospel woefully confused, and that their solution might actually be more confounding than ever before.
Okay, let's lay some of the, or at least to go a little into some background here before we get to the basic problem that they think they've identified at Willow Creek and the other churches associated with it. You mentioned the seeker-sensitive movement. What was the Willow Creek Association's previous direction, the one that they found inadequate and want to change?
Well, Bill Hybels was one of the pioneers of the seeker-sensitive church model, and that is you go out and, as a pastor, you conduct a survey, a sociological survey, of the unchurched people in your community that you want to serve, and find out what their felt needs are, what they like and don't like about church, and then craft a church service and a model designed to that would be attractive to seekers. That's what they call them, and that's how you do evangelism. And then the basic premise behind all of that, as far as discipleship was, is that discipleship was done by getting people actively involved in church programs and activities. And they've been doing this model for a long time, and they've taught tens of thousands of churches across the world to do the same thing. And Bill Hybels today was very contrite and very humble, and basically said the stuff that we've been pioneering for 10 years simply doesn't work. The data shows that. And so, they're trying to change things on the fly, and he was very upfront about the fact that many of the people who were attending today were going to have their view of church and how church works completely rocked and challenged by the data that they've been collecting and processing.
We're talking with Chris Rosebrough. He joins us live from the Reveal Conference at Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois. When we come back, they say they're going to be rethinking, quote, the way we do church. We hear this all the time nowadays. The way we do church. It gives me pause because it seems as though there's a presupposition there about what the church is and who does church, who invented it, whose idea it was. Well, we'll get to some of that on the other side of this break. Chris Rosebrough is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of issues, etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, issues, etc.
Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues, Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues, Etc.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Sidney Odell, Ray Gifford, Robert Wurrett, Roger and Melissa Dramstad, Carol Borcherding, Michael Kreitler, Michael Fitzgerald, Stephen Sager, Francis Kosel, and Michael. Thanks for your support.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
The biggest gap that we've discovered in our church and in many of your churches that we've been studying seems to be right here. It's those fully Christ-centered people, and we're in danger of those people feeling that the church is not helping them enough.
That's Nancy Beach. She's one of the pastors at Willow Creek Community Church involved in the Reveal Conference. They've identified a problem there. They said the farther someone progresses in their life as a Christian, the less and less that Christian has any sense that churches like Willow Creek, the seeker-sensitive churches of the past, are doing them any good, providing them with spiritual nourishment, meeting their needs, especially the needs of being in God's Word on a regular basis. Spiritually fed is the term that they sometimes use. Chris Rosebrough is our guest. He joins us live from the Reveal Conference at Willow Creek. We're talking about the direction that it is setting for so many American churches over the next 2 days at this leadership conference. Chris, when you hear the phrase, we need to rethink the way we do church, this blank page approach, what are your concerns?
It's not as if Christ didn't leave us an understanding of how what the church is and what the church does. It's not as if God's word is silent on these things. God's word is very clear that, you know, what it is the church is, what the church does, what pastors are supposed to do, and even the metaphor that guides and governs the relationship between a pastor and a congregation. And these guys have kind of, they're going with a blank slate approach, and their data is at this point sovereign, not necessarily the Word of God.
What is their data? Well, I guess I should ask, how are they interpreting the data they've been gathering, not only at Willow Creek, but from all the other churches that have been participating in the reveal research that's been done across the nation? How are they interpreting
it? It works from the basic premise that everybody in a church fits into one of four buckets, if you would, or four types of people. You're either somebody who's exploring the Christian faith, somebody who's crossed the line of faith and made a decision for Jesus, and you're now beginning your Christian faith. And then the next phase after that is you're growing in Christ, or you're close to Christ. And then the final gap, chasm that you have to cross, which is supposedly the biggest one, is that you go from being, you know, just a generic growing Christian to actually being somebody who is Christ-centered in your thinking and your focus. And so what they basically interpret the data along the lines of that there's good practices and bad practices that help people move along this spiritual growth continuum, and they seem to think that they've been able to identify the key factors that will move somebody from one bucket to the next.
Okay. It sounds as though not only is their view of what the church is kind of up for grabs, it also sounds as though their view of what a Christian is based more upon kind of sociological, psychological indicators than anything else.
Well, they claim that it's grounded in the Great Commandment. They found a way to measure people's love for God and people's love for other people. So it's loving God and loving other people, you know, which is the summary of the entire Mosaic Law. And so they found they're basically measuring that, you know, people's love for God and people's love for other people, and then then kind of figuring out, you know, how that is fostered and growed, if you would.
It's almost
like the genetically engineering farming techniques in the body of Christ.
Are they defining Christians by their law keeping?
Yeah. It's not repentance and faith. It's loving God and loving others. It's the doing. In fact, the one thing that they keep saying as a mantra is it's all about movement. It's all about getting people moving, getting people busy, getting people active. One of the pastors that they brought up to that is apparently getting this right is a pastor who instructs everyone to bring a pair of sneakers with them to church because at a moment's notice they might have to, after church, go out and serve people and go on evangelism calls. And so it's all based upon movement and keeping the law and progressing in doing more and more.
Okay, you expressed some concern at the beginning of our conversation about not only the profound confusion of law and gospel, that is, not being able to distinguish between when God's word is prescribing certain actions or condemning us because God's perfect requirements of the law are not kept, and the comforting word of Christ's perfect law-keeping on our behalf, that failure to distinguish between that distinction in God's word. But also you said some concerns about their view of sanctification. How would you summarize that?
It's basically a law-based sanctification. The emphasis here is on the things I have to do, the spiritual practices and disciplines that I need to do in order to grow myself, the importance of understanding that it's my responsibility to become a self-feeder and not be dependent upon my pastors for my spiritual growth. It's basically a sanctification based upon actions on my part rather than repentance and faith and trust in Christ and a sanctification that has its heart, its soul, its roots, its life in Christ himself and in the gospel. It's something completely different. It sounds good on the surface, but when you scratch the surface, one of the pastors here said, you know, if you have a lot of faith in this continuum about whether or not you're Christ-centered, don't put a lot of faith in it, because you might actually tumble from being Christ-centered to being knocked down a couple of levels if you end up displaying behavior in your life that isn't consistent with somebody who's a Christ follower.
Is anybody pulling this off? I mean, do they say, okay, here's Joe, bring him up on stage. We know for sure, based upon his behaviors and how he's tested with us or researched with us, that he is a full-blown Christ follower and Christ-centered.
No, what they are doing is bringing pastors who apparently are better at, you know, at keeping the Christ-centered people satisfied and feel like they're growing and engaged up on the stage to talk about the practical things that they're doing in their church to address the Christ-centered people. And I think they're realizing that, you know, I hate to put it in crass terms like this, but I've heard this over and again at the conference today, is that it's the Christ-centered people who are the ones who are the tithers. It's the Christ-centered people who are the ones who really make the church run, and so we've got to find a way to meet their needs, and so we're going to focus on that.
So this is really just another step in the pragmatic approach that has been the hallmark of the seeker-sensitive movement. Whatever works, regardless of what it is, really without respect to whether or not we can find warrant for it in the Bible.
And some of their data supports biblical ideas. And the other problem I have with this at this point is some of the passages they're parading in front of us as models of people who are doing it right. One of the guys is a self-proclaimed disciple of Dr. Fred Price, who's a prosperity teacher. So my question is, where's the biblical discernment here, you know, as far as sound doctrine, you know, and how is it that their survey can't even pick out somebody who is a prosperity preacher?
Finally then, Chris, Bill Hybels, a couple months ago at a Willow Creek leadership conference, when they were introducing the idea of the Reveal Research, said what we really need to do is teach Christians to be self-feeders. They cannot depend on the church to feed them with the Word of God. How would you evaluate not the diagnosis, but his proposed solution?
You know, it's working with the wrong metaphor. Their metaphor that they're operating with is that if people are growing, it's like going from infancy to adulthood, and infants need to be fed, and youngsters need to learn how to feed themselves under the care of somebody, and then you become an adult and you're off on your own. That's not the metaphor given for the church and the role of a pastor. A pastor's literally, that means a shepherd. And the biblical metaphor that Christ gives is of a shepherd feeding the flock. And you don't, in that case, you never move beyond being, you're never exempted from receiving the care and instruction and intervention of somebody who is shepherding you. In their model, they want to keep the seeker-sensitive thing and find a way to slip in, you know, so the something that will satisfy the Christ followers more, but they don't want to engage in a shepherding sheep relationship. That's for them, that's off the table at this point.
Chris Roseboro received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University in Irvine, California. We'll get some more from Chris maybe a little later in the week on the Reveal Conference. He's host of the radio program Fighting for the Faith. For those of you tuned in to Pirate Christian Radio, at the end of today's Issues Etc. program, you can hear Chris Roseboro in Fighting for the Faith. He's author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com, joined us live from the Reveal Conference at Willow Creek Community Church. Thank you so much for being our guest, Chris.
My pleasure, Todd.
When we come back from this break, it's hour two of Issues Etc. straight ahead. The age of the earth is something that, well, the evolutionists will tell you is old in the extreme, beyond one's ability to even imagine. And then you open the Bible, and it appears from a simple reading of the text from Genesis on that we're dealing with a relatively young earth. So which is it? It can't be both. We know that. We'll talk about the age of the earth with Dr. David Menton from Answers in Genesis to kick off hour two of Issues, etc. Then Dr. Arthur Just will join us for the remainder of the show. We'll conclude our series with him on the threefold office of Christ, prophet, priest, and king, Jesus as King. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned for hour two of Issues, etc. and Dr. David Menton on the age of the earth.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.